church. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight and in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Never want to lose my appreciation for God's goodness. A lot of what we've been focused on tonight in our worship is the goodness of the Lord and things that He's done for us. And it's easy to get used to things like this, but it's good every now and then. As a matter of fact, it's good very often just to stop and recognize. The psalmist would write, "Let Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side." Amen. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're not good enough. We don't qualify by ourselves. But His blood qualifies us. Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands together again. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Colossians, the first chapter. Again, with Pastor Howard, Lord bless all of you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. Faithful saints of the Lord. And first time guests, repeat guests, Lord bless you. Amen. It's more than about just coming. It's about experiencing. Church is not a location, it's an experience. It's a spiritual thing, and whatever your experience has been in the past, I promise you God has much more for you tonight. He's looking for an opportunity to give that experience to every one of us here tonight. Verse 9 is where we will begin, Colossians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul writing to the Colossian church, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." Thank God for a testimony. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Somebody say, "I've been delivered." "And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Don't underestimate the power of your experience with God. It's more than just a feeling. Amen. True salvation feels really good. But it's about more than a good feeling. It's about a right standing with God. We have been delivered and we have been translated. Verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." The forgiveness of sins. Now, Paul is not writing to sinners. He's writing to saints. He's writing to a church in Colossae, the Colossians. And he says, in essence, we're in the church because of what Jesus has done and our partaking of His grace. Our acknowledging of our need and our obedience to the gospel we have through his blood. We have. I want you to notice here, he did not say we had redemption. But we have redemption. Redemption is not just about getting out of the world and into the church. It's about staying in the church. Even the forgiveness. We have forgiveness. Amen. I want to preach about forgiveness tonight. Amen. From this title, don't forget about forgiveness. Amen. Would you lift up your hands tonight? I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's let the Lord work in this house tonight in Jesus' name. God, I speak your name. I call upon your precious name, Lord. I bind every hindrance and distraction, anything that would oppose your will. God, I pray that you would open a great door and effectual for me to minister your word and for us to be not only hearers but doers. Help us to be obedient to your word tonight. Give me grace to deliver my heart. God, to say it like you've put it on my soul tonight. God, confirm your word tonight. We have not come just to hear tonight. We have come to obey. We have come to respond. We're here for an experience tonight, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, bless you. Please be seated. I want to direct your attention initially here tonight, words that Paul would write in verse number 9. He says, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Paul is doing here in Colossians chapter 1 what he did in Ephesians chapter 1. He is alluding to his prayer for this particular people. And Paul's prayer for the Colossians is a very enlightening prayer. And it would seem, as we would look at this prayer, that a lot of what Paul is praying for would seem to be out of reach for so many. It would seem an impossibility. How could I ever measure up? How could I ever align up to that high standard? Let's look at some of these things that Paul said. I'm praying for you good folks in the Colossian church. He said, I'm praying that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Amen. I believe that this building is inhabited tonight with people that want to do the will of God. But you can't do the will of God if you don't have knowledge of the will of God. We know tonight there are some things that is the will of God. He is not willing, the Bible said, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. It's the will of God for us to be saved. It's the will of God for us to have revival. It's the will of God for us to be a part of the growing of the church, the building of the kingdom, of the increase of his government and peace. Isaiah said, there shall be no end. He said that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Amen. I'm convinced tonight. I would say I've got a conviction about this, that God wants to impart spiritual understanding to his people. The Bible says of Jesus Christ and his disciples, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. God wants to give you understanding. Amen. You don't have to do without what God has for you to help you do his will. He doesn't tell you what he expects and requires and then just leave you on your own. But God says, I've got some help for you. I know there's some things that you're not strong enough to do by yourself, but I've got some strength that I will give to you if you will receive it. Amen. I will give you what you need. I want to help you fulfill the will of God in your life. Amen. Notice now this extremely intimidating prayer. He says, I'm praying that ye might walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing. How in the world? Walk worthy of the Lord? That word, phrase, walk worthy, simply means to live appropriately and suitably. And that is, I understand, a tall order. One version of the Bible reads, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity. Another version reads, living uprightly in the approval of the Lord. Yet another, then you will live a life that honors the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching to some folks tonight that living a life that honors the Lord is not something that you think too much about yourself. But I know some folks whose life honors the Lord. And I'm privileged to know them. But Paul said, I'm not praying for a select few. I'm praying for the church. I'm praying for the saints of God that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You don't have to do without spiritual understanding. God has it for you in this house tonight. And that you would walk worthy of the Lord. There's some results of walking worthy. There's some things that happen when you walk worthy. Being fruitful in every good work. Even increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Amen. It sounds similar to what he wrote about his prayer to the church at Ephesus. He said in Ephesians 1 and 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He said, this is what I'm praying for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Notice, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us for who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I'm praying that you would experience God's power. Don't live without the power of God in your life. Amen. Don't try to walk worthy without the strength that God has that makes up the difference. Oh, I've got a burden for somebody here right now. Can I just push pause on a lot of folks and just hone in on somebody? It meant you're so frustrated because so much of your life is in your control. Amen. You have talents and abilities. You have understanding about a lot of things. And there's so much about your life that you can handle. You're on top of your game. You can handle so much. Amen. But when it comes to the things of God, you always feel like you lag behind and you're frustrated because you can handle everything else, but you can't seem to do this. Amen. Come on, the sooner you realize I've got to have God's help to do the will of God. The sooner you repent of yourself, the sooner you recognize, I can't do this without God. I can't do this without grace. I can't do this without mercy. Oh, would you lift up your hands and praise the Lord here? Come on, God has this for somebody tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God has strength for the church tonight. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. What does his power working in our lives produce? Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. There are things that you can endure when you are influenced by his power. My Lord, what a difference God's power makes. Before the power of Pentecost, the disciples were huddled in a room behind closed doors for fear of their very lives. What's the government going to do? What are the magistrates going to do? What's the religious hierarchy of our generation going to do? They have crucified the Lord. And everybody knows that we are his disciples. Now what's in store for us? Fear, intimidation, intimidation. But after Pentecost, they can be arrested. They can be put in prison. They can be threatened with physical abuse. And the same ones that were behind the doors wringing their hands even would stand on their feet with the power of God in their life saying we're going to obey God rather than man. And you can beat us, you can imprison us, you can slay us, amen, but we're going to put our trust in the Lord. And we can't help but testify and give glory to God for the things that we have witnessed for ourselves. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, the power of God. The power of God. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. I feel his strength in this house right now. Maybe you're in need of some strength. I'm telling you what you need is in this house. Amen. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Amen. Amen. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Thank God for a testimony. Thank God for an experience. Our focus tonight is not just his prayer. But Paul then rehearses our testimony. Between the lines of scripture we read, look what the Lord has done. But not just look what he's done or recognize what he's done, but realize what you can do because of what he's done. Are you hearing me tonight?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Colossians 1 and 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption. Somebody say, I have redemption.
I have redemption.
even the forgiveness of sins. Somebody shout it with me. I have forgiveness. Again, going back to Ephesians 1, Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, the will of God. The church is the will of God. You being in the church is the will of God for you. Amen. Do you want to do the will of God? Amen. Get in the church. Do you want to keep doing the will of God? Stay in the church. Do you want to keep doing the will of God? Help somebody else get in the church. Do you want to keep doing the will of God? Help another person get in the church. Do you want to keep doing the will of God? Help somebody else get in the church. It is his good will, the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us to be accepted. In whom, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have forgiveness. Amen. We understand no one besides the Lord has ever lived a life without the need of forgiveness. I need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. Word of God declares in Romans 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You don't got this. You're not good. I understand the saying, you need something, I'm good. I'm okay, I've got this, I can handle it. And there are some things that you can, but there are some things that you cannot. You can't do the will of God without God's help. You cannot fulfill your spiritual potential without the riches of his grace. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Later in Romans chapter 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. We know that the wages of sin is death. But we also know the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yes, there is a penalty for sin, but there is a reward for righteousness. Come on, if you're bound by sin, I've come to bring good news to you. If you're tormented by your past, if you're troubled in your heart, we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin. Oh, would you clap your hands to the Lord right now? Hallelujah. There has been a price that has been paid. Jesus has paid the ransom. We have been redeemed. The price for your redemption has been paid. Whether or not you've experienced it, the price for it has been paid by his blood that was shed on a cross. I've got some news for you tonight, and it's good news. I don't have to live without God in this world. I don't have to try to do these things by myself. But the price for my freedom has been paid. The price for my redemption has been... I wish somebody would help me preach right now. Man, I don't have to be bound. I don't have to stay tormented. I don't have to live every day like I lived yesterday. Deliverance is mine. Cleansing is mine. It's not whether I want it or not. It's not you're going to be saved whether you want to be saved or not, but whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God is not going to save you against your will. God loves you so much, he's going to give you a chance like he's given you right now. If you've never experienced the power of Pentecost, you can experience it presently. If it's been a while since you've been renewed in the Holy Ghost, why tarry thou? What are you waiting on? Come on, renew your experience in God before you walk out of this church house tonight. Come on, these things are yours by inheritance. Amen. If you repent of your sins, he'll forgive your sins. Yep, man, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission, the washing away of those sins. He's not going to force you. He will not forgive a sin that's not repented of. By his own word, sins cannot be remitted, but by the blood of Jesus. The blood is only applied through baptism in Jesus' name. Not in religion. In baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not baptized into a local congregation. You're baptized into the church of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be in his church, you got to be baptized in his name. Neither is there salvation, Acts 4:12, in any other. For there is none other name. Somebody shout name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can't be saved according to the scripture without the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why Peter replied to those that recognized their desperate need of God on the day of Pentecost when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. How? In Jesus' name. Amen. That is the only biblical mode of baptism. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, you haven't been baptized according to the scriptures. Being baptized, or baptism in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost is not baptized in the name. You need to have a conviction about the name of Jesus. There's power in the name. It's his name. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. Amen. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, I'm glad I know who Jesus is tonight. Jesus Christ is not Jehovah Jr. He's God, not God number two in a three-God Trinity. There is no Trinity. See, God said in Isaiah, beside me, there is no sin. I'm God all by myself. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God was manifest in the flesh. God was justifying the spirit. God was seen of angels. God preached to the Gentiles. God was received up into glory. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh. is a one God Jesus name church. The Bible declares whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Somebody lift up your hands and praise the name of the Lord. My God, there's revival in this house tonight. Come on, somebody obey the Holy Ghost with me. Somebody mind the Spirit with me right now. Jesus' name. We have redemption. Some, say it again, I have redemption. We have. Paul is saying, I'm in the we. I'm in the crowd. It's not just you have or we had or they had. We have redemption. I am redeemed. Such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. Sin is in my past. But redemption is in my present. It's not that I was redeemed. I am redeemed. Even forgiveness. Thank God for forgiveness. Now, I believe God wants to give every one of us a fresh revelation and conviction about forgiveness. We're not glossing things over. But bless your heart, when God forgives, you have been forgiven. God is good at what he does. And when God does it, he does it right the first time. And we have redemption, even the forgiveness. That word means pardon of sins. It is the remission or the washing away, the doing away of the penalty of sin. It means letting sin go as if it had never been committed. When God forgives you, it's as if you had never sinned. When God forgives, he does it right. And I'm preaching the word to you tonight. And some of you have been riding with me, but now your heels are going to start digging in because you don't know how to live for God without condemnation. But God has revelation for you. Amen. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. God doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't remind you of it. He doesn't say, have you forgotten how bad you were and all the bad things that you did? That's not the voice of God that tells you those things. Because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. Somebody say, that means me. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Oh my God. Amen. The psalmist writes Psalm 103, beginning in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The devil wants to hang it over your head. But how can something that's been removed from you be hung over your head? It's not substantial. It's not real. What the devil is hanging over your head, it's not really there. It's been removed. He's playing with your imagination. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, I'm butting heads with a stronghold right now. Come on, this is not easy believism. This is not sin is no big deal. No, it's a very big deal. The wages of sin is death. But that's not the rest of the story. Amen. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity. If you are humble enough and sincere enough to repent of it, he's big enough, he's God enough to forgive you. Come on, his word says he delights in mercy, and he will not regard us according to our iniquity. And as high as the heaven is above the earth, that's how big he is. That's how great he is. That's how much more merciful he is. How far is east from west? Somebody give me a distance. How far is it? Is it a mile?
Infinite.
What?
Infinite.
You can go north long enough, and you'll start going south at some point. You can go south long enough and start going north. But you can go east from now on and never get to west. You'll never start going west. You can turn around and start going west and never meet east. As far as east is from west, so far as he removed. Satan is not big enough to reach your transgressions. His arm isn't long enough to reach back there and get. They've been removed. They've been cast into the depths of the sea. Oh, come on, saints of God. Forgiveness is not just a part of you getting in the church. Amen. But John wrote to the church, if we, the church, confess the church's sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. The devil's the accuser of the brethren. Amen. I'm upset about the devil tonight. Amen. I hate everything about him. Amen. He tries to remind you. He tries to torment you. He tries to bring it all back. Amen. He says, look at those scars. Remember what you said. Remember, amen, how it felt. Remember how it hurt. Paul was tormented. by his past. But here come a point in Paul's life where he says, forgetting those things which are behind. I was a scoundrel. I did it in ignorance. I didn't really know what I was doing, because when I got converted, I stopped doing what I was doing. I stopped killing Christians and started trying to establish Christians. But I've got a lot of baggage. I've got a lot of skeletons in my closet. But Paul said, it's in the past. If I could go back and undo it, I would, but I can't. But I repented of it. I submit to you, if Paul can be forgiven, so can you. If anybody has ever been forgiven, anybody else can be forgiven if they'll just ask. If we confess, he will forgive. Don't forget about forgiveness. Why are you dragging all that junk around with you everywhere? What about forgiveness? Why do you keep beating yourself up about something that you prayed through over 10 years ago? What about forgiveness? Let's pray. Let's pray right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, pray in Jesus' name. I won't be much longer, but we want the will of God in this house. Oh, we want the Holy Ghost to confirm the word with signs following. We want to see the word confirmed in this house tonight in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Let's lift our hands right now. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost tugging on somebody's heart right now. Oh, in Jesus' name. Come on, exercise your faith. Hallelujah. In the name of, come on, somebody get ready to be forgiven. Somebody get ready to be delivered. Somebody prepare yourself to go home a different person than what came to this service tonight. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I'm not righteous, but Jesus is. My blood's not enough, but his blood is. He meant it's his blood, his power, his word, his church, his will. Come on, let's pray. Pray in Jesus' name. Help us right now, Jesus. Come on, let's pray it down right now. Come on, there's forgiveness in this house. I said forgiveness is here. Why don't you ask for it? Revelation is here. Why don't you receive it? Amen. Into the depths of the sea, our transgressions have been removed. Our iniquities have been cast. John said in heaven, Revelation 12, I heard a loud voice. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Why? For the accuser of the brethren is cast down. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Don't forget about forgiveness. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. They overcame him. They overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. A testimony that says, I've been forgiven. A testimony that says, I've been redeemed. I overcame the accuser by the blood and my experience because of his blood. When the accuser reminds you of your past, just remind him of his future. You'd be hard-pressed tonight, I'm closing with this, to find two men in Scripture more opposite than Saul and David. The primary difference between the two was not that one was without mistakes. They both made plenty of mistakes. They both experienced their share of failure. It was what they did with it that really made the difference. King Saul made excuses and blamed others. David took ownership and repented. And we have Psalm 51 as a testimony. Have mercy on me. Wash me. I acknowledge my transgression. I was shaped in iniquity. In sin was I conceived. You desire truth in the inward parts. Purge me. Make me. Hide thy face from my sin. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. Don't take your spirit away from me. But notice the result of forgiveness. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If there's anything that will rob you of joy, it's condemnation. But I've come to declare tonight the accuser of the brethren is cast down. And he is overcome by the blood and your experience. Peter and Judas both made mistakes. They both failed God. They both messed up big time. But what really made the difference between the two was Judas gave up. The Bible said, Peter, remember the word of Jesus which said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Simon Peter repented. And that same man writes to the church, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Real repentance brings real forgiveness and it results in real joy. How long has it been since you could say, the joy of the Lord is my strength? Are you trying to live for God without joy? Why don't you come to this altar tonight and overcome the accuser by the blood in your experience. My sins have been removed. My iniquities have been cast away. Would you lift up your hands together right now? They're going to play and sing. Amen. About being made different. Come on, this can be your testimony tonight. If you want to come pray, these altars are open right now. In Jesus' name. Different than what life is like for you right now.